So today, being the first day of March 2026, all right, we're going to do part number two in our lesson eight entitled Follow the Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd. We're in John chapter number eight. In John chapter number eight. We looked at this last Sunday. We began the lesson last Sunday with looking and following Jesus as the light of the world. Now, we saw this in John chapter 8, verses 12 through 59. All right? We got down to that, and we got down to this part in verses 31 through 59 about Jesus' requirement for discipleship. You know, there's a lot of folks today that they want to have a discipleship program before they start winning folks to Christ. And then they wonder why folks don't go to church, they don't read their Bible, they don't do anything for the Lord. It's because, you know, they still don't know Christ as their Savior. They're trying to get them to live a life, you know, outwardly that needs to first be begun inwardly. And that's why Jesus told religious Nicodemus that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, many folks, and I remember growing up down south, when I went to the church we went to, I got sprinkled when I was 12, I guess it was, maybe a little bit earlier than that. And then I got baptized in another church, and they said, do the best you can do, and hopefully if you die, then your good works will outweigh your bad works and all this stuff. But man, that didn't give me any peace inside. And I needed to know that my sins had been forgiven. And it was not until I heard the message of the gospel, how that Jesus came to this earth to suffer, to bleed, to die upon the cross of Calvary, to be buried, to take our sins away, to rise up again, to give us eternal, everlasting life. And man, until I accepted that gift of eternal life, I didn't know what it was to have peace with God. But you know what? Since that day, boy, he's given me a peace. Now, I can't even describe it. Man, I just love him. I thank him so much for what he's done. And now I want to help teach folks, when they get saved, how to live for God. You know, when we had our children, my wife and I had two children, a daughter and a son. And we didn't leave them at the hospital. I was tempted with our son, but we did not. He cried from the moment he was born until the day he got married, I guess. I don't know. It was a long time, huh? Let me tell you, it was a long time. And you know what? It was just that way. But you know what? We brought them home after they were birthed into our family. And guess what we did? We taught them. We taught them. We taught them how to eat. We taught them how to wash themselves and to do things on their own and clean up their room and obey and things like that. They had to be taught. And that's the way it is with any young Christian. Anybody that gets saved, they've got to be taught from the Word of God how to live for God, how to serve the Lord. And that's all a part of the Great Commission. You realize that, right? That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's why we have church. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have a bus ministry to bring people to the house of God so they can continue to learn to grow for the Lord. That's why we do what we do. So that not only do we see folks get saved, but then we see them begin to grow in the Lord. And oh, what a blessing it is to see people grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. So here, Jesus' requirements here were listed. And look at it in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You know, what the world needed to see in the lives of those believers was their proof of ownership. Amen? Their proof of ownership. And they were now servants of God. They were the children of God. And in verse 32, Jesus told them that those who would continue in his teaching and in his word would not only give proof of discipleship, give proof of their ownership, but they would know the truth of God's word while even living in the midst of a dark sinful world. Listen, folks, when we look at the news going on today and all the things that are happening in our world today, man, we stay in the Word of God and we know, like Jesus said, that all these things must come to pass before He can return and take us home to be with Him. And man, we need to look at that. So this can also be seen, you know, that we are free from the bondage of sin. And we can see it here in John chapter 8. Look down at verse 36 just a moment. The Bible said, if the Son, S-O-N, if the Son, who is He talking about? Yeah. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Amen. When God saves us, He frees us from the bondage of sin. Man, the world wants to hold us in bondage. Satan wants to hold us in bondage. But when we get saved, the Lord God frees us from Satan's bondage. And yet, many of those people still did not understand. They did not understand the words of Jesus, and they questioned Him again. And look at it in verse 33. He said, the Jews and some of the Pharisees and all said, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus again tried to explain to them. Why did He do this? Because He loved them. He didn't want to see them spend eternity separated from God in a devil's hell. You know, I thought about Ali Khamenei this weekend got to meet eternity. He's in eternity today. And I think about all the people that that man deceived through the false teachings that they were teaching. And all the things that they taught and all the people they killed and sent into eternity. Folks, I'm telling you, it's a sad day for somebody to miss out on going to heaven when they die. And speaking of that, I want you to pray for the real family. Some of you may know, some of you may not know, but Miss Ima Jean was in our Sunday school class, and she went over and joined with the Super 60s, and she had done that months ago, you know, when Brother Howell came. But they found her dead yesterday. I guess it was yesterday, right, Jerry? Friday night. And she had died, and they're going to be doing the autopsy to find out, but maybe it had been her heart or something like that. But I want you to pray for the family, all right? But you know what? She's in heaven today. And, buddy, she loved the Lord. She loved the Lord. She loved Prince Charming, too. Prince Charming was her dog. Little white dog. Oh, he was a charmer. Little frisky thing, let me tell you. But just pray for the family, okay? But I thought about that. And I thought about this man that died and went into eternity lost forever because he rejected the Lord God of Israel. He rejected the Lord God that died for his sins on the cross of Calvary, was buried to take those sins away, and rose up again to give him life and victory over sin. And now today he's forever lost in eternity. And these lost Jews, man, they tried to say, well, we're Abraham's seed. That makes us something special. But you know what? If you're a child of God, you're part of Abraham's seed as well. All right? But listen to this. In verse 38 through the first part of verse 41, Jesus again speaks as God, speaks of God as His Father. And they still refuse to accept His words. And in the latter part of verse 41, they say this. They say, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. And you know what they were doing? They were calling Jesus an illegitimate child. They knew the truth, but they refused to accept the truth. Well, that's where our world is at today. You talk to folks today, they don't want to hear truth. They want to hear what they want to hear, and that's all they want to hear. But you know what? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And folks, listen to me. Just because they said they were of God did not actually make them of God. Because they could only be of God if it had that new birth. All right? I've got some folks that try to get me to come to their church meetings and stuff like that. Ministerial meetings is what they call them. And they've got everything Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and Catholics and all this other stuff. And they say, Brother Shutt, won't you come and be with us? And I have to think, I don't say this, but I just think in my mind, listen, I'm not your brother. You know, we can't be brothers unless we got the same father. Amen? And they don't have the same father. They're teaching a different doctrine. They're teaching a different gospel, which is not another gospel, but it's not truth. And so they in turn began to call Jesus names like any little brat child does, okay? We see that in our political world today, don't we? Well, if they don't agree with you, they start cussing at you, and they start fussing at you, and they start calling you names and all this stuff. While Jesus, again, he tries to make them understand truth about honoring God and honoring God's word in verses 49 through 55, but they just could not understand it. They could not understand. And Jesus told them here, he said he was greater than their father Abraham. And look at this in verse number 56, John chapter 8, verse 56. Look what Jesus said to them. He said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And boy, they just couldn't understand that. But again, they walked in the darkness of sin. They walked in the darkness of unbelief. Satan had them blinded. They had chosen to reject the truth of our Lord's words. They chose to reject it. And therefore, they could not believe it. And we see that here in verse number 57. I want you to look at verse 57. Look what the Bible said. The Bible said, Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? They didn't know that he was the great I am, that was there from the beginning. Always is, always will be, God in the flesh. And you know what? The great I am statements that Jesus makes in the Gospel of John, he said this in verse 58. Look at it. Jesus said, verily, verily, or truly, truly, or without a doubt, I say unto you, before Abraham was, what did he say? I am. He didn't say, I was there before Abraham. No, I am. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. His love for you does not change. His love for me does not change. And his judgment for sin, his coming judgment, is not going to change either. And folks, they could not understand it. And now in verse number 59, the Bible says, then they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And to think that some of these folks were the same ones who back in verse 30 claimed to have believed him. And now they were rising up with stones in their hands to stone him and to kill him because they didn't want truth. Does that not sound exactly what's happening in our world today? We're seeing it all around us. They don't like truth. But now we move into John chapter number 9. And here today, I want you to not only see that how we need to follow the Lord Jesus, okay, as the light of the world, but I want you to see that we follow Jesus here as the healer of the blind. Now, you may be sitting there today and you say, well, preacher, I've never been blind. Yes, you were, just like me. I was blind in my sin. I was blind to truth. You were too. And if you're not saved, you still are. But you know what? Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to bring light into the dark world of sin. And he came to give sight unto those who could not see. And let's see the cause of the healing here in verses 1 through 7. Look at it with me. We see here in verses 1 through 3 that this man was born blind so as to bring honor and glory to God. Look what the Bible said. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. You know what? Jesus said here in verse number 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Again, Jesus working on God's time frame, not man's, trying to show these folks what he was here to do. You remember what he said over in the book of Luke chapter 19 after Zacchaeus came down and accepted Christ? He said, this day is salvation come to this house. And he said, he told the people the reason that he had come. He said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why Jesus came into this world. Nobody had taken time for a poor blind beggar man. No one but Jesus, amen? And no one, like the old song says, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. No one ever cared for you. No one had ever taken the time to help open my blinded eyes until the day that I met the Lord Jesus. I heard the gospel and I got saved. And now in verse number 5, Jesus says, As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I'm so glad that Jesus came into the world, aren't you? Amen. I am glad that he came to give light. Imagine now, in order to heal this blind beggar, the Bible said in verse 6, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. In verse 7, Jesus said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation, sent. And the Bible said there in the last part of that verse, He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Man, Jesus had once again shown his power over sickness and disease, man's frailties. He's the creator of all life. So he was able to do all these things. But now, not only do we see the cause of the healing, but now in verses 8 through 34, we see the controversy that comes because of the healing. We see the controversy. Now, I want you to look at this. I guess I got to ask a question. Why is it that these religious leaders could not just be happy and be excited about what Jesus was doing among the people? He had made the sick to be well. He had fed the multitudes. He had done miracle upon miracle. And yet all they wanted to do was to criticize and to find fault and to try to accuse him of breaking their Sabbath day laws and to make him look like he was nothing important. They knew who he was. The problem was they wanted to be top dog or no dog at all. That's the facts. They wanted to be top dog or no dog at all. And now they were ready to kill the Savior. Why couldn't they just be happy with these people being saved and a blind man being able to see? Man, I wish I could go over here and touch Cornelius on the eye, or you know, do like Jesus did, spit on the ground, put it on his eyes, and tell him to wash, and he'd be able to see again. Cortez, I think you would like that, would you not? You would. But you know what? I can't do that. Only Jesus could do that. And when Jesus did it, you'd expect everybody to be happy. But here in verses 8 through 12, we see the reaction of the man's neighbors. In verse 8, they're all amazed. In verse number 9, some of them could not even believe that this is the same man. But he told them, it's me. It's me. Hey, it's me. I was the blind man, and now I can see. In verse 10, everybody wanted to know what happened to him. Everybody wanted to know what had happened to him. Listen, when you got saved, and folks heard about what you did, and now you were going to church, and you didn't cuss no more, and you didn't smoke no more, and you didn't go out and drink anymore, and carouse the town, and do all this other stuff like you used to do, and they think, man, what happened to him? And you look at him and say, I got saved, amen? Jesus saved me. He changed me. He gave me a new owner now, and I don't want to do those things anymore. And they look at you kind of strange, like, well, does that mean you're not going to go with us to this place or that place? You got it, babe. You got it. Listen, this man had been changed because of what had happened to him. And in verses 11 and 12, the man did the best that he could to explain to them what had happened. But he just didn't have the answers to all their questions. Look at it with me. He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? And he said, I know not. I don't have a clue. Now look at verses 13 through 17. And in verses 13 through 17, we see the response of the Pharisees, all right? The bad guys. The ones that don't want to believe anything good can come out of Galilee. They don't want to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Look what happens in verse 13. The people brought this man to the Pharisees in verse number 13, all right? They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And note again in verse number 14 that it was the Sabbath day when Jesus did this great miracle. Oh boy, he's done made them mad again. Good night. Another miracle. Yeah, I remember the blue laws when I was down a little boy, okay? Couldn't go get gas, couldn't go out eat, didn't do anything like that. But I'm glad it didn't stop that old Sunday school bus from coming by my house, picking me up on Sunday morning, bringing me to church on Sunday morning, taking me to the house of God where I could hear the gospel and be saved. But now look in verse 15. The Pharisees start asking this man questions. And he just tells them, he says, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. And again, here in verse number 16, there was a great amazement and an even greater division among these Pharisees. Look what it said. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. While the Bible says, others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? The latter part of that verse says, and there was a division among them. There was a division among them. Now, let me ask you something. Who is the author of confusion today? Satan. He has come to rob and to steal and to kill and to destroy. Cause confusion. He's done it since the very beginning. Remember when he made his first appearance in the Garden of Eden? What did he do? He came and he questioned the Word of God. And he said to Eve, yea, have God said? Let me tell you what God really said. That's what he wants to tell you. And you know what? These places today, these religious institutions that want to change the gospel, the truth of the gospel, into a lie, you better be careful. You better be careful who you listen to. Listen, if it doesn't match up with the Word of God, don't listen. Don't listen to it. Stay away from it. The Bible said here, some of these folks said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. So in John chapter 9, verse 17, the Bible said, they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? That he hath opened thine eyes? And he said, he's a prophet. Now here's a man that didn't know much about the one that had saved him. But he had enough sense to know, man, this guy's of God. This man is of God. Think back when you got saved. When you got saved, it didn't make you a Bible scholar, did it? But you know what? You may not have been able to tell anybody a whole lot about the Scriptures, but you knew what Jesus had done for you. I never will forget going out visiting with my Sunday school teacher. And back then, our Sunday school teachers took the folks in their class. And we were in the teenage class. I was in the 15-year-old boys class. And I was waiting till the school year began to get promoted up to the 16-year-old boys class. All right? And then, you know, you were kind of big stuff when you got moved up to that class. But my Sunday school teacher, Gene Ryan, he took me out visiting in his car, and he showed me how to lead folks to Christ. And some of the other teachers there did the same thing. Now, I'd gotten saved March the 28th, 1975. And we were there in Winston-Salem, just left the church and coming down a little road called Cap Street, K-A-P-P, Cap Street. And there was a big old oak tree out there on the side of the road, and there's a young man standing out underneath that oak tree. And my Sunday school teacher looked at me and he said, "Ray, why don't you go up here and tell him about Jesus?" And I'm thinking, what in the world do I tell him? I don't know anything. I just got saved a few months ago. This was on July the 31st. I just gotten saved March the 28th. Okay? I was still growing, trying to learn what I was supposed to do as a child of God now. And he said, "Just go talk to him." And when I got over there, I had that little New Testament. I got it on my desk in there right now that I always carried with me, the one that I had when I got saved, little pocket New Testament. And I went out and introduced myself and told him what we were doing, and told him we were just out inviting folks to come to church. And I said, "You know, the most important thing is we just want to make sure that everybody's going to go to heaven when they die. Do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven when you die?" And he looked at me and he said, "Well, how can anybody know that? Do you know that?" I said, "Well, as a matter of fact, yeah. I got saved just a few months ago, about 4 months ago." He said, "Really?" And I'm thinking, what do I tell him? And you know what I did? I just told him what I told, what I did when I got saved. And I took it back in that little New Testament and showed him how I was a sinner and how I deserved the wages of sin, which is death and separation from God in hell. But how that God loved me. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. That God commendeth his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. And I told him, I said, all I did was what the Bible said. And the Bible said here in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And he said, "Well, that sounds pretty good." I said, "Well, would you like to do that?" He said, "Well, I guess, but I don't know what to say to God." And I told him, I said, "Well, here's what I said to God. Why don't you just talk to him kind of the same way?" And so I prayed with him and shared with him how I went to God and said, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. And God, I know if I died today without you, I know I'm going to die and go to hell, but I don't want to go there. And Lord, I believe what your word says, that you sent your son Jesus to die for me on the cross. He was crucified to pay the debt for my sin. He was buried to take that sin away. He arose again to give me everlasting life. And right now, Lord, I just want to ask you to forgive me of my sin. Come in my heart and save me." And you know what? At 8:04 or 8:07 p.m. that night, that young man did exactly that. And he left and he had to go on down the road. And I went back and I was just, man, I was just beaming. I mean, man, I was excited. And that was my very first person I'd ever gotten to lead to Christ. And you know what I did? I went back and I wrote that date down and I wrote that little guy's name down in the front of my Bible. I didn't know what else to do. And I put a little star around it. Number one. First one I got to lead to Christ. And you know what? After you lead your first one to Christ, it gets easier to lead another one to Christ. And you just want to tell somebody. And this poor blind man, look what he told him in verse number 25. The innocence of this guy. The truthfulness of his heart. He didn't know much about what had happened to him. But this is what he said. He answered and said, well, let me go back to verse 24. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Verse 25, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Amen. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And that's what this man was saying. He didn't know all about Jesus. He didn't know a lot about what Jesus had come to do. But this man knew what he was before he met Jesus. And now he knew what he was after he met Jesus. Amen. And there was a change. There was a difference. And in verse 30 through 33, the Bible said this man began to preach to these Pharisees. Look what it said. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if a man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Well, that's pretty good preaching for a new convert, isn't it? Amen. He let them have it. But then in verse 34, we again see how that all that religion can do is condemn. All religion does is condemn a person. All it can do, religion cannot save. It cannot heal. It cannot make things new again. And look what the Bible said. They said in verse 34, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. They cast him out of their congregation because he had gotten saved. He had been made to see, and he trusted the Lord Jesus. And you know what? That's what the devil does. He just wants to cast down and cast out. And not only did they call Jesus a sinner, but now they condemn this man, and they tell him that there is nothing that he can teach them because he, too, is still a sinner. He's still a sinner. Man. But I want you to look at the conversion of this man after the healing. Verses 35 through 38. I want to try to get this in before we go. I know the guy that's preaching today, so don't worry about it. He'll be okay. All right. In verse 9, 35 through 38, the Bible said Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, look at that. Jesus came to where he was. Amen. That's what he did for you. That's what he did for me. He came down from heaven to where we were lost in our sin. He came to our rescue. And he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. I believe. I think about that song. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Man, that's my Savior. The shepherd looks after his sheep, not the other way around. And in verse 36, we see this man. He had a desire to know who Jesus was. And in verse 37, Jesus introduces himself to the man with words of comfort and cheer. And he said, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And in verse 38, he said, Lord, I believe. And what's the first thing he did? He worshiped him. You know what? When we get saved, a saved man doesn't want to stay out of church. A saved man doesn't want to neglect the Word of God. When you get saved, God puts a new longing in your heart and in your soul to tell others, to learn more about him, to worship the one who saved us and loved us so much. And that's what we see in this thing, in this man. And then we see the condemnation after the healing. Look at verses 39 through 41. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am coming into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus said unto them, "If you were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth." You see, Jesus explains why he came into this world there in verse 39. And verse 40, we see the problem there is that they refuse to see that they're spiritually blind. They think their religion, the traditions of men, are going to get them to heaven. They think that their good works and their good deeds and their fancy clothes and all the other stuff that they got, that's going to make them right with God. But folks, those things don't make us right with God. Jesus tells them, he says, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we sin, therefore your sin remaineth." If they had been able to see that they were indeed spiritually blind, and they had heard the truth of the Word of God, they would have come to Jesus, and they had been made to be able to see spiritually. But they refused to do that. And that's why Jesus said, "Therefore, your sin remaineth." And now, although Jesus cares for the souls of these religious but lost Pharisees, he cared for them. He tried to explain to them, but they refused to listen. So what does he do? He turns his attention back to those little innocent sheep who are listening to his discourse between him and the Jews. And you know what he does? He comes back and he shows them that he, in the next chapter, John chapter 10, that he is the good shepherd. He's the one we're to follow, the good shepherd. And if you'll come back next Sunday, I'll tell you about that good shepherd. Amen. Man, aren't you glad we got a Savior that cares for us today? Amen. Let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed for preaching service. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to say thank you again today for your love and your mercy. Lord, for being the great I Am that came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And Lord, that was me. And Lord, I just want to say thank you again for loving me when I was unlovable, when I was lost in my sin. I was blind to your truth. But God, the gospel brought light. And the gospel made me be able to see. And now, Lord, I want everybody to know what you have done for me and what you can do for them. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to follow the good shepherd. Help us, Lord, to follow the Lord today in all that we say and do, to help us to love one another and to share the message of the gospel with everyone that we see. I pray, dear God, that you'll use this lesson today to speak to our hearts. And now, Lord, in just a few moments, you're going to give me the opportunity to preach in the main service today. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'll give me the words to say that will speak to hearts. And if there be anyone here today that does not yet know you as their Savior, I pray, dear God, that you'll help them to see their need of you and come and be saved. And Father, we'll thank you, God, for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school class.